tells us that a census was ordered over the entire Roman world. And so Joseph and Mary had to travel from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to register. And so just up a few verses from where he started. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." And otherwise, I just wouldn't have read that since you read that part. But I wanted to get back down to that word there. That's a key word for us during our Christmas season. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Born to you. Our Christmas series this year is simply titled Born. And we've been looking at five different uses of the word born in the New Testament and how they connect to the birth of Jesus Christ. So out of this whole birth story of Jesus, out of all of what we've read, out of all of, you know, what we could have just continued reading, I just want to focus on a simple three-word phrase this morning. Just a simple three-word phrase, and that is born to you. Born to you. The angel said this to the shepherds. In the NIV, we read, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Just in case there were other translations, I want to make sure they were all translating very similar. The New King James Version, another trusted version. Definitely better than the Old King James. There's some errors there. But New King James, it's a good version. Very good version of the Bible. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." So born to you this day, who is the Christ the Lord. In ASB, Mike's favorite version of the Bible, and what is known as a form literal version of the Bible. It tried to get as close to the Greek and Hebrew as possible. It says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior." Still very similar. Who is Christ the Lord? The NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. "To you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." And then Chris read for us the Linus version of, "For unto you a child is born." So is that, that's Old King James, yeah. Five of the top English translations of the Bible translate this as "born to you," "born unto you," "born for you," and "to you is born." Who are the angels talking to? Shepherds. Shepherds. It wasn't Mary this time. It wasn't Joseph. They weren't going to the Pharisees or the teachers of the law, the leaders of the Jewish people. They were talking to simple shepherds. Just guys. Just average Joes. Jesus was born to you. Born to you, for you. To you is born Jesus. A couple weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 3 and Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus as Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Jesus said that we need to be born again, that we needed to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. And then after this, John records this conversation with Jesus. Or after John records this conversation with Jesus, let me get my emphasis on the right syllable. John then gives his commentary, and this is where we get the famous John 3:16, where John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus was born to the world, for the world. To the world, Jesus was born. We are in a time when there is a lot of animosity all around us. It's just a tense environment. Racial tensions, political tensions, medical tensions, scientific tensions, pronoun tensions. Never would have thought I'd been talking about pronoun tensions. This cancel culture that we're living in has gotten to be a very hostile environment. Sensitivity is at a level that I'm not sure we've seen in history. I don't claim to be a historian. Chris is my guy I go to for history. Am I seeing things right there? I mean, that I haven't heard of a time in history where people have been this so very sensitive and so easily offended over everything. And then not only easily offended, but then they turn right around, which seems kind of ironic to me. And they'll say, "Yeah, I'll match yours and I'll go up one." And they'll respond with such an aggressive nature. And some of it might be the keyboard warrior in us, where we don't see people face to face and it's easy to tweet something or throw something on Facebook. I think it's very important for God's people to reflect on this simple truth that God gave Jesus to the world. To you, Jesus is born. For you, Jesus is born to you. God gave Jesus to the world because he loved the world. Let's write this down. God gave Jesus to all people because he loves all people. God gave Jesus to all people because God loves all people. God didn't just give Jesus to the Jews or to Mary and Joseph. God gave Jesus to the world for the world. And we get a little of this picture, seeing that God chooses to first publicly announce the birth of Jesus to shepherds in a field. Well, they were nearby. Just makes sense. They were close. They were living in fields. They're nearby. They were the closest people to the scene, and the angels show up and they say, "Hey, you want to see something amazing? It's right around the corner. You're not far from it." They weren't noblemen, they weren't scholars, they weren't kings or governors of the land, but simple shepherds just doing what shepherds do. They were doing their job. They're watching their flocks at night. Now, apparently this is a debated topic on the level of shepherds and their place on society. I didn't realize that. David and I were talking about this last week. From the best of my understanding and my research, shepherds were not the best of people. In the olden times, they were compared to sailors, rough characters. In one of the commentaries that I use, it said that they were a despised lot. So even if they weren't the scoundrel group that I've understood them to be in my time, we can still at least understand that they were lowly. Their work would have made them ceremonially unclean often. And this is the group. This is the group that God chooses to share the gospel message with first. They could easily represent a variety of people, from average Joes who live with dirt stains underneath their fingernails or grease stains, whatever the week. What? Terry. Well, I just know. So you like it. He likes to work with his hands. Well, yeah, I guess age is catching up, but... So from the average Joes to the untrustworthy hoodlums, willing to lie and scam their dealing in their dealings with others. In this day and this age, we need to be reminded that Jesus was given to these shepherds. For these shepherds, to these shepherds, a Savior has been born to you. Unto you. Those in our current culture and our society, the average Joes, and then all the way over to those who cause the chaos, those who we don't trust, those who are violent or aggressive, people who are behind all of these various tensions that I just listed. Yes, the rioters, Jesus was born to them. People that voted for Kanye West, Trump, or Biden. Yes, Jesus was born to them, for them. To them, Jesus was born, both the donkeys and the elephants. To the men that want to be called her and to the women who want to be called him. To masked supporters, to masked rebels. Conservatives and liberals, blacks and whites, good cops and the bad cops. Now, I'm not saying that all these people have been given a pass into God's eternity simply because he loves them. Just because I say that God loves them doesn't mean that they have responded to his love, but it's still very important for us to keep in mind, especially in these times, that God loves all people. And that's why he sent Jesus to all people. Jesus was sent to the world because God so loved the world. We spent a number of months this past summer, most of the summer actually talking about love. You guys remember that? Some in quarantine, some once we actually broke free and we were out of jail for a little while. The greatest of these is love. All on love. That we'll be known as Jesus' disciples because of our love for each other. We're called to love our enemies. We are to love because God first loved us. We're to love God, and we're to love our neighbor. We're to love with compassion. We are to love with actions. So today, as we reflect on the birth story of Jesus, let us be reminded that God so loved the world that he sent his son. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As we were all on the wrong side of God, weren't we, at one point in time in our life? And it doesn't matter if you have a testimony like mine or you have a testimony like my wife's. I didn't have a super dark past, but I definitely came from the other side of the tracks. I was voted most liberal in my senior high school superlatives, which is really funny. My wife grew up in church. She grew up knowing God. She grew up very, very conservatively. Her church camp, the ladies had to wear long skirts and they had to have their hair up. So you did that all the time. Until you guys went from what? Oh, okay. Rebel. She's a little closer to the tracks than I thought. Wonder what it's like over there. I remember I've told you guys this story before about myself because I became a Christian the end of my junior year, going into my senior year of high school. And in my senior year of high school, I was really big into drama, president of the drama club, and you guys know I've enjoyed that here in the times we've had a chance to do that. I was close with the drama teacher. She was also my English teacher. And so in our senior year of English, she had us write a paper of where we saw ourselves in 5 years. And so I wrote a paper all about, you know, where, you know, where God, wherever God leads me, and I believe he's leading me in the direction of music and being able to share his message through music and different things there. And so she was in the break room with some of the other teachers, and she was telling them, she said, it's so inspiring to see students like this, that they want to live with, you know, to share hope and to make a positive influence, you know, impact, whatever. And Coach Newell, who knew me my freshman and sophomore year of high school, I was a totally different person. he told, oh, I can't remember her name now. I don't remember her name. Shame on me. Wonderful, wonderful lady. But Coach Newell, sitting there in the corner of the break room, he said, he's pulling your leg. She's like, what? Because she was just a sweet lady, so she would have been, it would have been easy to hoodwink her, you know. So, and he's like, he's pulling your leg. That's Dusty. He'll pull your leg like that. He said, that none of that's true at all. And she's like, really? Like, no. So she called me up to her desk the next class period that we had together, and she said, I need you to rewrite this. I wanted an honest paper. And man, my heart just sank, because I had poured my heart into that. I was kind of like Ralphie with the A++++, you know. And I said, no, that every word of that's true. And then she told me this story. That's how I knew. She said, well, Coach Newell told me that you were pulling my leg, and he was the debate coach. And I said, oh, he knew me before I knew Christ. We all have a place where we've come from, but no matter where you came from, it was just over the tracks or way over the tracks or just real close to the tracks. Before we made a decision to accept Jesus Christ, we were all on the wrong side of God, every single one of us. There wasn't a one of us that had the gift of eternal life until we surrendered and we gave our life to God. Before we made that decision, we were unsaved sinners. Just like any number of people we see around us. Before you came to Christ, you and I were unsaved sinners. That doesn't mean we were unloved, does it? We were always loved. Always. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us because God loved us, every one of us. And God's love brings hope. Let's write that down. God's love for all offers hope for all. God's love for all offers hope for all. And we should never, ever forget that. Church, no one is outside the hope while they are still breathing air on earth. Amen. God's love opens the door for hope. And the shepherds, or the angels, tell this to the shepherds, that the birth of Jesus is good news that will be great joy for all people. Paul writes to the Ephesian church in chapter 2. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The rioters, people that cause the chaos, the people behind the tension. All of us also lived among them at one time. We're not too much different, are we? Sometimes we forget that we had to come to a moment where we took Jesus, where we believed in Jesus and we accepted Jesus. And then our lives were changed from that moment forward. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not a one of us discovered God's hope or God's grace or God's forgiveness or the gift of salvation without first discovering God's love for us. That comes first. That's the gospel story, church. That's the simple gospel that the angels took to the shepherds on that first Christmas morn. And whoever you are, whatever you do for a living, whatever you did in the past, whatever mess you're in now, whatever hate you had, whatever chaos you caused, whatever rebellion you took part in, whatever perversion you bought into, whatever empty deception ruled your hearts. Listen, Jesus was born to you. For you. Unto you a Savior has been born. That's the simple gospel of Jesus. And the simplicity of the gospel story needs to become the anthem of the church again. The church has had so many internal problems throughout the years since Jesus' ascension. Even Paul in the first century was writing to churches that were having problems. It's nothing new in the year 2020. But the times in history when the church really shines, when the church really makes an impact, it's when the church is simply holding out the simple gospel message of Christ. That God loves you. That Christ was sent for you, and believing in him is the single most important thing that you'll ever do. That he is the Savior and he is Lord. We should know where we stand on various topics, no doubt. We should be in God's word, and we should know what God's word says about various moral subjects. We should be able to share about what God's word says on various subjects and those very subjects that show up in the media all around us. But we must be careful that nothing replaces the gospel of Jesus as first importance in our conversations, in our hearts, in our life. When we share with others, how we treat others, how we view others, how we think about others. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you." Speaking of churches that were having trouble, the Corinthian church had a couple things that they were a little bit mixed up on things. I've always thought that the book of Corinthians should have come with a little pretext. Careful as you read this, this church was kind of messed up a bit. And he says, "Let me remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And then he was buried. And then he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Let's write this down. The good news of the gospel of the Christ must be the central anthem of the church. God so loved the world that Jesus was sent to the world, for the world. Unto you a Savior has been born, so that those who believe in him might have life. that they might be saved. 1991, when I was baptized into Christ, I had plenty of things wrong with me. Guess what? 2020, I still have plenty of things that need work in my life. God's love and salvation is what we need to take to people. And then God makes the change. God brings the change. There's not a single point or place that we're going to lead someone where they get to a point where they now deserve to be baptized. There's not some level where you get, well, you need to get to this point and then you can be baptized. No. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. Sometimes we make it seem unobtainable. They simply need to see and understand God's love for them and that they need him in return. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That's the simplicity of this message from the angels to the shepherds. I guess at this time it was angel. They didn't show up till after the message. And our message needs to echo the message of these angels in how we speak, in how we act, in how we treat others, in how we think of people in our head. I mean, that affects how we speak and act. If you want to go to the fruit, how we feel about them in our heart, in how we pray for others, in how we hope for others, in the amount of patience that we have with others. Our message needs to echo the message of the angels. As the angel took that message to the shepherds, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The shepherds were in fields nearby. What a great picture for us to see. You know what? Just take Jesus to the people that are nearby. Whoever's nearby you, that's the person to take the message to. And just like the angels, it's just simple. Hey, you want to see something amazing? And live a life that just simply says, here's Jesus. Just Jesus. Here's God's love. It's Jesus. Born to you. For you. Pray with me. Father, thank you. I thank you for this time of the year. I really like the Christmas songs. I like the messages they hold. Because I'm so very thankful for your son. And that gift of salvation that you gave to us. Father, I pray that as we reflect on this message, as we sung these songs, and as we return to these songs this week, and we think about that original Christmas morning, that it would kind of etch a sketch our lives right now in the chaos that has been these past 360 some days of 2020. Father, that the simplicity of the gospel would rise to the top of our hearts and our minds, and that it would guard our actions and our thoughts, that we would see the importance of sharing your son and taking this very simple message to the world, that the gospel would be the anthem of the church. And that's what we'd be, that's the message we would be known for and the love we share. Father, we pray for those, whether they're family members, friends, old acquaintances, co-workers, neighbors, that have not yet come to know your love. Father, we ask that during this season that your children all around America, around the world, would hold out this message, this Christmas message, that for you, a child was born, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. Father, I pray that if we have any ability to connect with people who are causing the chaos of all these different ways, that we would be able to love them, to be able to present to them this message as well. Father, I pray that your love would be clear to your world and your people and your creation. We thank you so much for showing it in such a very blatant way through your son Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.